You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Team with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document service provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000.
Nathan Zgur, Matt Wilhelm, the kid going on the Ohio Business Machines hotline, bringing in three-time Super Bowl champion Gerard Sherry. We've got a one-time Super Bowl champion in our midst as well, Matt Wilhelm. Gerard, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Gerard, Super Bowl Sunday, I'm sure for you with the Patriots being there, you're going to have a strong rooting interest in this game. What do you see happening on Sunday?
Well, if the Patriots are smart, they'll do what the Green Bay Packers did other than not quitting with 5 minutes left to go. I shouldn't even say not quitting because the Packers didn't quit. They essentially started playing not to lose. So employ the running game. You're going to have to utilize Blunt to the fullest because really the only way you beat up a team like Seattle is to beat them up. You can't go playing finesse because they'll dog you out if you try that.
Gerard, I know that Pete Carroll, I believe this morning or last evening, talked about, you know, it's Richard Sherman's judgment call in case his wife goes into labor to potentially miss the Super Bowl. I want your perspective on that. And then if that were you, how would you weigh in? I'll say it being your first Super Bowl, not your second or third. How would you make that decision of missing your child's birth or playing in your first Super Bowl?
Obviously, both are once-in-a-lifetime situations, and the birth of your child should mean more. But I would play in the game because the likelihood of me having another child is great, and getting back to the Super Bowl again as a two-time defender of that title is not. So I would go with the Super Bowl, and I hope she would understand the reason why I made that decision. And really, there's nothing much you could do in the process other than encourage her. Heck, I could do that from Skype.
So you think you should be Skyping on the sideline if she goes into labor?
It may not go well in the waiting room or delivery room, but hey, I think she'd understand.
I want to get into Belichick before the Super Bowl. I'd really like to understand, before the game, is he pumping you up? Is it all X's and O's? What's he like 30 minutes before the Super Bowl?
30 minutes before the Super Bowl, he's pretty calm. All of his Newt Rockne, fire you up, get you motivated to play the game, takes place that night. So prior to the Super Bowl, he's calm, he's cool and collected, and once the game starts itself, then he goes into the hoodie mode where he's on your case, telling you what to do, what not to do, adjustments and things of that nature, and being a field general out there. But prior to the game, he's calm. He doesn't really do much speaking prior to the game because it was all said the night before.
So, Gerard, with Belichick being calm, walk us through that, you know, again, that three Super Bowl era that you were blessed to be a part of. Who was the hype man? Who was the crazy one? Who was the yeller and screamer, the motivator, as you guys were walking out of the field on those Patriot teams?
It really wasn't one person, because more so in the tunnel, that's when guys were getting jacked up and yelling and screaming at each other and hitting each other. And you saw how ballistic Tom would get, Teddy as well. So pretty much inside a locker room heading out, guys were calm. Once you got in that tunnel, everyone exploded. So it wasn't just one guy, but it was Teddy Bruschi's job to bring us to a huddle position and say what we would say prior to going into the game.
Whose idea was it to run out on the field all together as one the game against the Rams?
It was one of those, well, we haven't done it during the course of the season, so it became one of those things where it was truly grassroots and it just developed out of nowhere. Just this idea and the mantra that, hey, if we're a team, so we do all aspects of that and no individual introductions will come out as a team. So that started during the season, and obviously, much to the chagrin of the NFL and the networks, we came out as a team because we were being told you better not go out as a team in that first Super Bowl. Well, we're like, we don't care. Really, what are you going to do to us if we don't?
I felt like the game was over when that happened. I really remember where I was sitting, and I just remember thinking, it's on, Belichick, here we come, Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, well, we felt that same way, too, and obviously the Rams, given credit, came back in the end because it was a tight game and had it gone in overtime. Chances are they probably would have won that game.
Gerard, what is Tom Brady like on a Super Bowl Sunday?
You had a fired-up guy in the tunnel. You have a guy who's cool, foot fired up and fired on the sideline, doing what he has to do to get his guys motivated to do what's necessary to execute. And then you have a situation where come halftime, and even prior to the game, he's taking a nap. Most of you are like, how do you take a nap prior to a Super Bowl? But he actually takes a nap, and that's a smart thing to do because your emotions can get carried away, and you need to figure out a way to just relax and not exert yourself pre and halftime of the game.
Gerard and Matt, this question is really for both of you, and Gerard, answer first. Is it hard to prepare just like it's any other game? The introductions are longer. The pregame seems longer. There's so much more fanfare. Is it hard to stay in your natural routine and kind of, you know, when do you finally calm down and settle in?
Yeah, it is totally hard to do that. And really how you have to approach the game, the best advice I'll give guys who have the privilege of participating is treat each half like an individual game. First half, and that's the amount of energy you're going to exert. You're going to play from a physical and mental toll on your body and just what you go through psychologically and physically is two games. So treat it like you're pretty much planning to play two games with the breaks and with all the physical play that takes place during the course of the game.
And the way I weigh in on it is I think it's an advantage, a little bit slightly to the Patriots, but I think for the Seattle Seahawks going back so soon, you know, their roster is a majority of those guys played in the Super Bowl last year and were at least a part of the week. And so they know the hoopla that comes with playing in the Super Bowl. And as I said, you know, earlier when I called into your show, Gerard, you know, I was a first-time Super Bowl guy at the end of my career, and I wanted to embrace every second of that week and just and take it all in. Because as you said, in regards to missing the game potentially, playing in the game and missing the birth of your kid, it's like you're not guaranteed to get back. And I think what's so special about the Super Bowl and playing in it is, you know, there are so many great players inducted into the Hall of Fame or retiring from the NFL that never had an opportunity to play in the Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl.
Right. And they'll, obviously, if they're not playing anymore, we'll never see that unless they go aspects of a coach or some type of advisor.
You know, Gerard, I had one more question for you is the talk all week has been, you know, is Brady going to throw towards Sherman? I'm not going to answer that question, but I go, who do you think plays the most influential role in the defensive backfield for Seattle? Is it Chancellor? Is it Earl Thomas? Or is it Richard Sherman?
I'd say Chancellor, because all the things that he does around the line of scrimmage and how vital he is stopping the run. So if you can get him really and really attack him, and that's asking a lot because he's for real, real. But if you can get to him, Sherman, you don't have to beat him in order to beat Seattle. You beat Seattle by beating him up in the interior. You can avoid Richard Sherman and dink and dunk on him and win a football game. It's when you try to go deep and down the field on him and you make a mistake, he makes you pay for it. But if you can get the Chancellor and dominate in the trenches in the second tier of the defense, then you got something going right there. So I really think the matchup with Gronk and Chancellor is going to be huge. If Gronk can win that matchup and then just getting a hat on the hat as far as the running game is concerned, dominating trenches, because I say this, Matt, I wonder if you agree, Seattle's a talented team, no doubt. And defensively, they're not big guys. They're speed guys, and they're athletic. But when you're a mow-down type of approach to the team as far as the running game is concerned, you may have some success.
I definitely agree, and I think that I think they went against that trend in the Green Bay game, but a lot of that had to do with Green Bay, you know, because we don't see Seattle being the bully, you know, being the tough guys, having to come back in that role. They kind of imposed their will with Marshawn Lynch and that dominant defense and the great playing or strategic playing of Russell Wilson. So they play the game very close to the vest. But as they did, I think it was more about Green Bay. So in this case, if the New England Patriots, I feel, can run the football and Tom Brady can stand upright and throw, you know, those short intermediate passes, which he does so well, they don't have to take their shots down the field. They've
they
got a great chance.
They really don't do that anyway.
No.
I got a question from the defensive side of ball for New England. As a Patriots fan, I'm a bit worried. Seattle runs a similar running game that Baltimore runs. They like to run a lot of boot action. You think Belichick's got something up his sleeve that he hasn't shown so far to negate those type of plays?
Oh, he always has something that he's going to throw out at you the last minute. And they do a great job of adjusting on the fly because, really, when you play for the Patriots, most teams may have one or two adjustments off of a coverage. I've seen situations and been part of where you can have three adjustments and three coverages within one. On one side, you could be playing cover three for the eight-man front, and the other side, man-to-man, and somewhere that deep in the middle, somebody might be doing half coverage. So they have that type of guys in their locker room or defense to do that. So, yeah, it'll be there. But ultimately, if the defense plays like they did in Baltimore, I like my chances if you see out with Marshawn Lynch. And no disrespect to Forsett, but I think Lynch is a more productive and more powerful back.
Gerard, what's your final call for this Sunday?
Well, I've been playing the game with myself, and I'm telling myself that it's going to be Seattle. And obviously, I want New England to win, but I just got a feeling that Seattle can win, but I won't be disappointed if they don't. But I'm going 27-24 Seattle.
The old reverse jinx, huh, Gerard?
Oh, exactly.
I like that. The reverse jinx. Let's go. Gerard, thanks for the time. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
All right, take care, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, you got it. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, myself, Matt Wilhelm, and the kid will do some over-unders with Jason Gibbs,
ooh,
the esteemed producer of this program and a just all-around fine man.
So you say.
Coming up next.